CL-123.
Hey, VFAB light testing. Good evening, folks. QSD, this is Marty, WV5Y. It's once again time for another edition of the Houston AmSatNet. This net meets on Tuesdays to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur-related items. This is net number 1618, and it's 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, July the 1st, 2025, which in UTC time is Wednesday, July the 2nd, 2025 at 0100. This is a directed net, and all calls should go through net control, and this net is dedicated to Andy McAllister, W5ACM. And thanks to Joe, W5BSA, we're on the 145.19 repeater in West Houston, and we're also linked up to the 443.325 repeater in Katy, and then its linked repeaters to the 146.7 downtown in Houston. And then also on DMR, the AmSat Talk Group 98006, YSF Fusion 11689, the All-Star node is 572580, and EchoLink is star AmSat star. And I will now take any check-ins.
Whiskey Delta 5, Juliet Romeo Delta, WD5 Charity Carl here. Jersey Village. Good evening.
Okay, we got Carl, WD5JRD, over there in Jersey Village. Good evening, Carl. You got a great signal. Sound like you squashed somebody. And I'm thinking it's probably Herbert. Are you up there, Herbert?
Yep, it's Herbert.
Okay, very good. Glad to have you aboard there, Herbert. KD5PQJ in West Houston. And it was a clean step on, pretty much. But glad to have you all both in there. And I hope you had a happy, successful field days. And are going to have a good 4th of July here coming up very soon. Okay, we're going to start with a little bit of information from the South Texas Balloon Launch Team. We got an update from Walter on some slow scan television that's happening mid-July, possibly. He's got a new slow scan TV event coming in July for fans of the ISS and space exploration. And looks like there could be some slow scan TV mid-July activities. In an appropriate collaboration between ARIS, Russia, and USA, we are celebrating the Apollo-Soyuz test project. Also, it's been 40 years since SSTV in human spaceflight, so we'll celebrate STS-51F as well. All right, prepare your decoders and past prediction tools for a possible event beginning around the 14th of July. And so the theme will cover two topics, the Apollo-Soyuz test project and STS-51F, which had the first SSTV to and from space. Okay, then also coming from Walter, we got an update on John's balloons, AB5SS, and looks like some amazing things are happening. AB5SS-145 just completed its seventh trip around the planet early this morning, and looks like it's mid-United States now, heading into the Midwest. And that's just plain amazing. It's still flying high, so we'd like to see that. And then AB5SS-163 is just making it there into Alaska, the edge of Alaska. So it should be, it's a little higher north in that latitude than 145. But it'll be making its way across the continent as well. Looks like probably starting today. So we want to congratulate John on some of our longest flying balloons. And that would definitely be on its seventh trip around the world, AB5SS-145. Okay, the South Texas Balloon Launch Team does hold its monthly meeting on the second Wednesday of the month. That happens at 4:30 p.m. in a local restaurant here in town. And then at 8 p.m. they hold a meeting on Zoom, so anyone can participate in that. And it's over at k5wh.net/Zoom. So we appreciate Walter making that available. All right, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSat Net. You can call and check into the net with a quick phone check-in to 713-467-9870. You can send an APRS message to WV5Y, that's West Virginia 5 Yankee, with no dashes and no numbers, as Andy used to like to say. Or you can send an email, and that's to WV5Y@comcast.net. And it looks like thanks to Bruce, KK5VO, the URLs are available, so if you'd like to check out any of the discussions or the topics that we delve into with more detail, you can just click on the link over at amsatnet.com, and we appreciate Bruce making those available. All right, we're going to get over here to ANS Weekly News Bulletins. This is bulletin number 180 from editor Mitch Ehrensdorf, AD0HJ. The AMSAT News Service Bulletins are a free weekly news and information service of AMSAT, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space, including reports and activities of a worldwide group of amateur radio operators who share an active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating through analog and digital amateur radio satellites. And the news feed over at www.amsat.org publishes news of amateur radio in space as soon as our volunteers can post it. So please send any amateur satellite news or reports to ans-editor@amsat.org. And you can sign up for a free email delivery of the AMSAT News Service Bulletins via the ANS list. To join the list, you go to mailman.amsat.org/pastorius/lists/ans.amsat.org. Okay, AMSAT shares an update on the Fox Plus Q CubeSat design, adapter issues, and integration work.
BL-123.
During Hamvention 2025, HamSat's Mike Moore presented the latest developments in the Fox Plus program. Mike Moore, K4MVM, HamSat Systems Engineer Project Lead, began his status review by saying, "I've been involved with the HamSat Fox CubeSat program for the last year and a half. It's a continuation of the Fox series of satellites. We're improving on the series with the Fox Plus CubeSat, modernizing it, and, where we can do so, reducing costs." HamSat's Fox Plus project is proceeding towards being ready for launch of a 1U CubeSat Fox Plus A with a VU linear transponder. The term 1U refers to the standard size CubeSat, also known as a nanosat, measuring 10 by 10 by 10 centimeters and weighing up to 2 kilograms. As I like to refer it, a little bit bigger than a square softball. The Fox Plus Amateur Radio CubeSat series will add to the success of the original Fox series of AMSAT 1U CubeSats. The big push is to have Fox Plus units ready to fly experimental payloads on short notice. AMSAT is purchasing components from ISIS, Innovative Solutions in Space, formed in 2006 with offices in the Netherlands. They provide components, particularly for CubeSats and small satellites. The company offers building blocks such as spacecraft structures, solar panels, antennas, transceivers, attitude control systems, and onboard computers, as well as satellite launcher units and services. Mike continued, "To expedite development of Fox Plus, AMSAT has selected commercial off-the-shelf or COTS components. This includes the ISIS CubeSat spacecraft frame, electrical power system, and solar panels. We're integrating those components with our AMSAT linear transponder module, the LTM. AMSAT's LTM is composed of the Legacy Internal Housekeeping Unit, the LIHU, the Improved Command Receiver, ICR, Receiver Transmitter, RXTX, the AMSAT Fox Plus LTM module is shown with a dotted line rectangle upper right in the system overview, he said. So if you want to look at that, you can just check out the ANS AMSAT News Service Weekly Bulletin number 180, and you can see the diagram. More explained, we've been tasked to fit the COTS modules from ISIS, spacecraft frame, electrical power systems, the EPS, and solar panels with our AMSAT boards into the ISIS frame. That's a mechanical challenge. ISIS frame and PCBs are not the same dimensions as AMSAT standard ME-113 PC board. The AMSAT ME-113 is used in legacy units as well as golf and other LTM applications. The AMSAT Fox documentation provides details on Fox components. Okay, then they have a diagram that shows, for comparison purposes, the ISIS hole pattern and bore dimensions compared to the ME-113 holes and dimensions. The Fox ME-113 board dimensions are offset just enough to make it a real problem. If they were offset by a bit more, the problem might be simpler. It's possible we could just offset our PCB connectors. That's not possible, making this a mechanical engineering design challenge. We have adapters to do this, and they show one design in the photo. Our mechanical and structural engineer is Andrew Robinson, KA3WBW. Mike, continue. The electrical adapter above and on the right, the photo shows the PCBs while on my workbench. They're half cards. It's the ME-113 cut in half. I have the PC-104, or in ISIS terms, the CubeSat kit bus, the CSKD, shown on the left. And if you're wondering, that's on the board on the left-hand side of the photo, if you check it out. The power integration unit, the PIU board from ISIS, is connected to it. The photo shows just wires right now, but later there will be a ribbon cable over to our stacking bus, which is our QXH electrical bus, a very small 60-pin connector. It connects all cards together. And they have a little diagram showing the CubeSat and the mechanical adapters with a power integrated unit on the top, the mechanical adapter 1, and then the boards, and then mechanical adapter 2, and then on the bottom is the battery pack. The LTM is in the middle. On the bottom is the power battery pack, the PBP, and the top board is the CubeSat power integrated unit, the PIU. It consists of three subsystems which drive electrical energy from the solar panels and the energy stored in the PBP. We're also considering using spacers instead of using the entire card area dimensions for mechanical adapters. Spacers are small units with two side-by-side holes. One hole would go to the ISIS board, and the other hole would go to the ME-113 board. I've now got preliminary schematics of the adapter card done. We're about ready to go to production on that to get PCBs made. This is the power and signal components on it, all the power for the satellite, and two ICE2C buses. Okay, this is an inter-integrated circuit, a two-wire serial communication protocol that allows multiple devices to communicate with each other on a single bus. There's a problem on the ICR card version 1.2, and we're taking care of that. Also, there's universal asynchronous receive transmit, or a UART interconnect problem, as well as some other odds and ends on which we're working, more added. There are innumerable details encountered during CubeSat research, development, test, and evaluation. Jerry Buxton, N0JY, Vice President of Engineering for AMSAT, is a key member of the Fox engineering team dating back to the beginning of the program in 2011. In his AMSAT Fox One Systems Engineering Documentation, June of 2018 paper, the Fox program introduced this engineering process for AMSAT. See references at the end of the document. engineering documentation is provided at each stage of development. An archive of this documentation is online, backed up, and version controlled. When an AMSAT satellite has been completed, this archive of traceable documentation serves as the basis for planning and executing future satellite programs. It is updated to apply the lessons learned about what went well and what did not.
DL-123.
Documentation is part of organizational memory, OM, also known as institutional memory or corporate memory. OM is the accumulated body of data, information, and knowledge created in the course of an organization's existence, excellent proof of internal learning and education, and potentially a reference tool for use by external organizations. Concluding this portion of the AMSAT forum, Mike said, Burns Fisher is AMSAT software guru. Burns is working with Patrick Thomas, KBABGC, AMSAT system engineer, and PacSat liaison, getting Patrick up to speed to do Fox Plus flight software.
This is the W5BSA repeater.
Other dedicated volunteers on the Fox Plus engineering team include Andrew Robinson, KA3WBW, mechanical instructional engineer, and Leandra McLennan, AF1R, electrical engineer, hardware developer. Contributions from various universities and other organizations were essential also. And we want to thank Mike Moore, K4MVM, AMSAT Systems Engineer, Project Lead, for that information. And this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AMSAT Net. Okay, we're a little bit past, quarter past the hour here, but we're going to take a quick standby, and we're going to see who we've got checking in. Okay, we're going to start with Charlie, K5ENG. He's over there in West Houston, so we appreciate talking to Charlie. And we got Dale, WD0AKO, up there in Moorhead, Minnesota. Of course, he's not actually in Moorhead right now. He's in Hawaii, and he does the backup archiving of the audio for the website on automatic. We appreciate that. We have had to use it in the past, and we hope they're having a good time. And he did call and check in right before the net started. Okay, we've got Vern, W80RCR, out there in Winsfield, Missouri. And, of course, thanks to Vern, you can hear our net on 1.860 megahertz, full carrier AM, and that's at 5:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. And we did get a call from Kai in 6ZZO. He's out there in McKinleyville, California, and he's one of our podcast listeners who calls and checks in, so we appreciate that. Okay, it's been a while since we had any APRS check-ins. Let's see, from the Internet Relay Chat System, we've got Ken, AK0A, Clay, KG4OZW, Brian, KG4WIJ, Renee, NZ9T, and Bob, KAWX. And we got a, yo, Marty, from Clay. See, the Internet Relay Chat System. So we want to say yo back, and also hello to Rachie. Okay, from Echolink, we've got Bruce, KK5VO, and of course, thanks to him, the URLs are available at amsatnet.com. And we've got Damien, AG9P, he's up there in Oconto, Wisconsin. He's been with us for many years. Good evening, Damien. Hello to Steve, KA5YFC. I hope you're doing good this evening. Okay, we've got another long-time listener. That's Dave, WB7VRU, and he's up there in Howard Lake, Minnesota. So good evening to Dave. And we got Inbop, N6UTC. He's out there in Long Beach, California. I did see his FT4 packets on field day, just a couple of them. I tried to connect and didn't make it, so I did try. But maybe there's always next field day. And then we got Andrew, KC5LWI, and he's down there in Galveston, Texas. And, of course, he works on the ferry, which we all really appreciate. And I hope he's having a good evening and a good night down there. And he wishes all of us a happy 4th of July. So we want to say the same back to Andrew. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AmSatNet. AmSat South Africa is to host the 2025 Virtual Symposium on 68 Years of Amateur Radio Progress. AmSat South Africa has announced that the 2025 Space Symposium will take place on Saturday, 2nd of August, 2025, from 0800 UTC to 1400 UTC, and has issued a call for papers. The theme of this year's event is Embracing 68 Years of Space Science and Innovation in Amateur Radio. Papers are invited on all aspects of space science and communication that impact or enhance the amateur radio experience, from technical developments to operational practices. Presentations will be approximately 30 minutes, followed by a 10-minute question and answer session. Proposal submissions in Microsoft Word format should be emailed to admin@amsatsa.org.za by the 7th of July, 2025. To maximize global participation, the symposium will be held online via the WebEx platform. Attendance is free for members of all AmSat organizations and national societies, with registration opening on the 9th of July in 2025. And we want to thank AmSat South Africa for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AmSatNet. AmSat seeks additional volunteers for Moon Day at the Dallas Frontiers of Flight Museum. 2025 Moon Day, a space-themed public STEM event, will take place on Saturday 19th at the Frontiers of Flight Museum at Love Field in Dallas. Held each year close to the date of the Apollo 11 moon landing, the event features hands-on science exhibits and activities for all ages. Moon Day runs from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Central Daylight Time, with setup beginning at 8 a.m. Central Daylight Time. AmSat will once again be represented at the event by AmSat Ambassador Thomas Suchler, N5HYP, along with several North Texas satellite enthusiasts. They will engage with the public, including many young people, on topics such as satellite orbits, the International Space Station, and amateur radio in space. Exhibits will include the AmSat Fox CubeSat engineering model and the CubeSat simulator, and the team hopes to demonstrate a few live satellite passes during the day. Tom is seeking additional AMSAT volunteers from the North Texas area to help staff the exhibit table. The AMSAT booth will be located next to the Dallas Amateur Radio Club exhibit, providing opportunities for great conversations with fellow hams as well as curious families. Volunteers receive free museum admission and lunch. Anyone interested in helping for part or the entire day is encouraged to email Tom at n5hyp@awrl.net. More information about the event is available over at flightmuseum.com/events/moonday. And we want to thank Tom Schuessler, N5HYP AMSAT Ambassador, for that information.
PL-123.
Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AMSAT Net. The 2025 AMSAT President's Club coins have just arrived, celebrating the 40th anniversary of amateur radio on human spaceflight. You can help support Golf and Fox Plus. Join the AMSAT President's Club today, and that's right over at www.amsat.org/join-v-amsat-presidents-club. All right, looks like we're right at the bottom of the hour here, so we're going to take a quick standby and see if we have any more check-ins. So any check-ins to the Houston AMSAT Net, come now. All right, this is Marty WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT Net. SpaceX Transporter 14 rideshare delivers a small sat, re-entry tech, and memorial ashes. SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket lifted off from Vandenberg Space Force Base in California on June the 23rd at 5:25 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at 2125 UTC, carrying 70 payloads for a diverse range of customers. The mission, known as Transporter 14, is the latest in SpaceX's dedicated rideshare program, which provides cost-effective launch services for small satellites and experimental spacecraft. Among the payloads was a special memorial capsule containing cremated human remains and DNA samples. The exploration company's new Nix reusable spacecraft is flying this commemorative mission in cooperation with Celestis, a company specializing in space burials. If all goes according to plan, Nix will circle Earth two or three times before being recovered, carrying remains and DNA from about 150 people. The launch also delivered an array of microsats, CubeSats, and reentry capsules. One notable payload is Varda Space's fourth reentry capsule, which aims to support the company's effort to manufacture pharmaceuticals and other high-value goods in microgravity and return them to Earth for commercial use. Transporter 14 continues SpaceX's trend of supporting in-space manufacturing demonstrations and technology development. Okay, then they have a picture of the Transporter 14 mission on the inside, and they've got all these different systems labeled. So it's kind of interesting. Two amateur radio satellites also hitched a ride, Taurus T2 and a 3U CubeSat developed by the Taiwan Space Agency, the support from National Formosa University. It carries a crossband voice repeater and Apper's digipeater. Parcus T2 provides voice communications on uplink on 145.980 MHz with a 67 Hz tone, and then a downlink on 435.250 MHz along with APRS packet services on 145.825 MHz. Students and amateur radio operators worldwide will have access to the satellite's unencrypted telemetry and educational outreach tools. Indonesia's Ridu Sat 1 also joined the manifest. The 1U CubeSat, Republic of Indonesia Defense University, uses amateur radio frequencies for educational training and communications. It features a VHF APRS payload on 145.825 MHz and a telemetry beacon on 145.925 MHz designed to support student learning and community engagement in satellite operations. As with many previous Falcon 9 flights, the usability was on display. The rocket's first stage landed successfully on the drone ship, of course I still love the Pacific Ocean, about 8.5 minutes after liftoff. It marked the 26th flight and landing for this booster, edging closer to SpaceX's reuse record of 28 flights. Meanwhile, the upper stage will spend nearly 2 hours deploying the payloads into precise orbits, continuing a mission series that began with Transporter 1's record-setting 143 satellite launch in 2021. Okay, if you want to read the full article, we got the link over there at amsatnet.com. Or you can just go to www.space.com/space-explorations-launches-human-remains-reentry-capsule-and-more-on-transporter-14-rideshare-mission. And, of course, it's a lot easier if you could just go to amsatnet.com and click on the link. And we want to thank Mike Wall at space.com and the IARU for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AmSatNet. SpaceX successfully launched Axiom Space's fourth private astronaut mission to the International Space Station, the ISS, early June 25th, following a series of technical and scheduling delays. The mission, known as AX-4, lifted off aboard a Falcon 9 rocket from Launch Complex 39A at NASA's Kennedy Space Center in Florida at 2:31 a.m. Eastern, or 0631 UTC. Nearly 10 minutes later, the Crew Dragon capsule separated from the rocket's second stage in low Earth orbit. The rocket's reusable first stage completed a precise landing in Cape Canaveral's landing zone 1. After a particularly long orbital chase, 28 hours between launch and rendezvous, the crew's Dragon spacecraft docked with the space station. And that was Thursday morning at 6:31 a.m. Eastern Time, or 10:31 UTC, where it will remain for approximately 2 weeks. The mission adds to SpaceX's growing resume of crewed flights to the orbital outpost, further expanding the role of commercial providers in human spaceflight. Commanding AX-4 is Peggy Whitson, a veteran NASA astronaut making her fifth journey to space. She previously flew on three long-term missions and commanded Axiom's AX-2 mission in 2023. The rest of the crew includes Shubhanshu Shukla of India as pilot and mission specialist Slawas Uznowski of Poland and Tibor Kapu of Hungary. All three are only the second individuals from their respective countries to reach orbit. Uznowski's flight is supported by the European Space Agency.
CL-123.
The mission experienced multiple delays since its original spring schedule. In February, NASA and SpaceX swapped the originally assigned Crew Dragon capsule Endurance for a newer vehicle to keep the Crew 10 launch on track. That decision pushed AX-4 into late May, with further postponements in early June due to weather and a liquid oxygen leak in the Falcon 9 booster. Additional delays followed after NASA detected a potential air leak in the ISS's Russian-built Zvezda module, prompting further investigation before approving the launch. Clearance granted on June the 23rd, the mission moved forward. The AX-4 crew will conduct about 60 scientific experiments during their stay, the most of any Axiom mission to date. This includes joint research efforts between NASA and the Indian Space Research Organization, ISRO, with Shukla collaborating alongside NASA astronauts aboard the station. AX-4 also marks the first flight of the fifth and final Crew Dragon spacecraft built by SpaceX. In line with tradition, the crew named the new spacecraft upon reaching orbit. Commander Whitson revealed its name, Grace, as it separated from the rocket. Grace is more than a name, she said. It reflects the elegance with which we move through space against the backdrop of Earth, an act of goodwill for the benefit of every human everywhere. Okay, you can read the full article at spacenews.com/fourth-axiom-space-private-astronaut-mission-launched-2-ISS. And we want to thank Jeff Faust of spacenews.com for that information. All right, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSat Net. We're looking forward to coming in 2025, the SDR Gen 2, a versatile GNU radio-based transverter that covers from 144 MHz to 6 GHz in continuous coverage. This transverter will handle direct VHF, UHF, 900 MHz, LS, and C-band operations. It says up conversion to 5 and dime capability. All mode, CW, SSB, FT8, narrowband FM, SSTV, ATV, etc. Minimum downlink data rate is 1 Mbps and is built to fly on Fox Plus and Golf missions. And actually it says minimum downlink data rate of 1 MSPS, but I don't know what an MSPS would be, so we're changing that to 1 MBPS. The AMSAT engineers keep amateur radio in space, and that's the ASCENT program, Advanced Satellite Communication and Exploration of New Technology. So we'll be following AMSAT News Service for more information for that, for the SDR Gen 2 in the future. Okay, this is Mari, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT Net. There are no additions or deletions this week to the AMSAT TLE distribution. But two line elements, or TLEs often referred to as Keplerian EPS in the amateur community, are the inputs to the SGP-4 standard mathematical model of spacecraft orbits used by most amateur tracking programs. Weekly updates are completely adequate for most amateur satellites. TLE bulletin files are updated daily in the first hour of the UTC day. New bulletin files will be posted immediately after reliable elements become available for new amateur satellites. And you can find more info over at www.amsat.org/Keplerian-elements-resources. Okay, there has been some changes in the format for the Keplerian elements, and they say notice in an effort to minimize confusion between sources of two-line element sets, AMSAT is adopting the convention of listing the USSF NORAD satellite catalog name first, followed by any secondary name or names in being what we know the satellite as. An example would be POEM 4, and in parentheses, BGS RPIT, and POEM 4 is the name that appears in the U.S. Space Force Satellite Catalog, and BGS RPIT is the name best known within the amateur satellite community. Okay, you can expect name changes for affected satellites in the coming weeks as this change is fully implemented. And we want to thank AMSAT Orbital Elements page for that information. This is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT Net. Let's see here. We want to give out those URLs one more time for our net. It's www.amsatnet.com. That's thanks to Bruce, KK5DO. And he's got satellite award information over there. So if you'd like to find out how to get a certificate or an award for making satellite contacts, you can go check that out on our site, thanks to Bruce, because Bruce, of course, is the AMSAT awards guy. So we will be looking forward to getting a report for him on field day once he gets all that info. Okay, and then we can't forget about www.amsat.org, which is AMSAT's regular website, and they have more information about satellite awards. And then, of course, there's the status page where you can find the status of the satellites and which ones are operating and which ones are having problems, or you can find the frequencies that they're operating on, the uplinks and downlinks. And then there's the store and symposium information, all kinds of stuff over there. So be sure to check out AMSAT.org. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT Net. Amateurs and others around the world may listen in on contacts between amateurs operating in schools and allowing students to interact with astronauts and cosmonauts aboard the International Space Station. The downlink frequency on which to listen is on 145.800 MHz worldwide. Okay, there are no upcoming Harris contacts to report while schools are on summer recess. Scheduling is expected to resume as educational institutions return to session. Many times, a school may make a last-minute decision to do a live stream or run into a last-minute glitch requiring a change of the URL, but we at ARIS may not get the URL in time for publication, so you can always go check out live.aris.org to see if a school is live streaming. The Crossman repeater continues to be active. It's on 145.990 MHz up. The PL tone of 67 and 437.800 MHz down. And this past weekend during field day, boy, was it continuing to be active. If any crew member is so inclined, though, all they have to do is pick up the mic, raise the volume up, and they can talk on the Crossman repeater. So give a listen. You just never know. You might end up talking to an astronaut. And the packet system on the International Space Station is also active. It's on 145.825 MHz up and down.
DL-123.
As always, if there is an EVA, a docking or an undocking, the ARIS radios are turned off as part of the safety protocol. And note, all times are approximate. It's recommended you do your own orbital prediction. We'll start listening about 10 minutes before the listed time when we have some that are listed. The latest list of information on the operation mode for the ISS can be found over at www.aris.org/current-status-of-iss-stations.html and the latest list of frequencies in use is at www.aris.org/contact-v-iss.html. And we'll thank Charlie Safana, AJ9N, one of the ARIS operation team mentors, for that information. Okay, looks like we're down to AMSAT ambassador activities. AMSAT ambassadors provide presentations, demonstrate communicating through amateur satellites, and host information tables at club meetings, hamfests, conventions, maker fairs, and other events. AMSAT Ambassador Clint Bradford, K6LCS, says, think a 75-minute presentation on working the easy satellites would be appropriate for your club or event. Let me know by emailing me at k6lcsclint@gmail.com or calling Clint at 909-999-7287. Clint has never given the exact same show twice. Each of the 150-plus presentations he's made so far has been customized and tailored to his audiences. Okay, looks like we do have some scheduled events coming up. The Olmos Preschool Mid-Year Space Camp is July the 3rd, 2025. TI-3 IES Ignacio, AMSAT and AMSAT TI Ambassador, will be giving a presentation and demonstration of amateur satellite communications at Olmos Preschool in Curitibat, San Jose, Costa Rica, on Thursday, July the 3rd. The event is part of the school's mid-year camp, which runs for 2 weeks with a space-themed focus. The presentation is specifically designed for preschool-age children who have been learning about planets, stars, and spacecraft. This engaging session will introduce them to satellite communications in a fun and age-appropriate way. Ignacio will be representing AMSAT and AMSAT-TI as part of their ongoing outreach to inspire young learners through space and amateur radio. Okay, there's the Rochester Amateur Radio Association HamFest 2025 happening June the 21st, the Department Park, 410 Maiden Lane, Rochester, New York, 14616. URL is rochesterham.org/hamfest.htm. And you should see AMSAT Ambassador KB2YSI there. Okay, the Northeast Ham Exposition, HamX, and the New England ARRL Convention happens on August the 21st to the 24th, 2025. That's at the Best Western Royal Plaza and Trade Center, 181 Boston Post Road West in Marlborough, Massachusetts, 01752. And the URL is www.hamx.org. And the ambassadors there should be W1EME, WD4ASW, and WB1FJ. See, there's the Greater Louisville Ham Fest, September the 6th, 2025, at the Paraquet Springs Conference Center, 395 Paraquet Springs Drive, Shepherdsville, Kentucky, 40165. And you can go over to louisvillehamfest.wixsite.com/louisvillehamfest, and you should see W4FCL there. Okay, and then our big meeting, the 43rd Annual AMSAT Space Symposium and Annual General Meeting, happens October the 16th through the 19th, 2025. The Holiday Inn and Suites in Phoenix Airport North, 1515 North 44th Street, Phoenix, Arizona, 85008. And the URL is www.amsat.org/2025-symposium. Hey, if you're interested in becoming an AMSAT ambassador, AMSAT ambassadors provide presentations, demonstrate communicating through amateur satellites, and host information tables at club meetings, ham fest, conventions, maker fairs, and other events. So for more info, you can go over to www.amsat.org/ambassador. And we want to thank Bo Lowry, W4FCL, Director of the AMSAT Ambassador Program, for that information.
W5BSA repeater.
Okay, this is Marty WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT Net. The AMSAT Remove Before Flight key tags are now available, and they are the real thing. So you can, with your $20 donation that goes to help fly a Fox Plus satellite, get your Remove Before Flight AMSAT key tag, and it includes a first class postage in the United States. Sorry, U.S. addresses only. To order today, you can go to www.amsat.org/product/amsat-remove-before-flight-keychain. Okay, this is Marty, WV5YM, Houston AMSAT Net. On June 23rd, 2025, the United Launch Alliance, the ULA, successfully launched its Atlas V rocket, carrying Amazon's second batch of 27 Project Kuiper satellites in the low Earth orbit from Cape Canaveral. This mission, dubbed Kuiper 2, was the second production batch toward Amazon's plan for a 3,200-plus satellite constellation providing global internet service. reports followed a previous scrub due to a nitrogen purge issue and lifted off at 6:54 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time after a smooth countdown and favorable weather. AMSAT faces an FCC deadline to have half its first-generation constellation operational by July 2026 and has secured launches with multiple providers, including ULA, SpaceX, Blue Origin, and Ariane Space. With six more Atlas V launches booked and many Vulcan, Ariane 6, New Glenn, and Falcon 9 flights planned, Amazon aims to accelerate deployment to meet regulatory requirements. This second successful launch brings the total number of Kuiper satellites on orbit to 54, underscoring Amazon's push to establish a steady launch cadence. And we want to thank Spaceflight Now for that information. You can join AMSAT today by going to launch.amsat.org. In addition to regular membership, AMSAT offers membership to societies, a recognized group, club, or organization. Primary and secondary school students are eligible for membership at one-half the standard yearly rate, and post-secondary school students enrolled in at least half-time status shall be eligible for the student rate for a maximum of 6 post-secondary years in the status. And memberships are available for annual and lifetime terms.
BL-123.
If you'd like to find out additional information for membership to AMSAT, you can contact info@amsat.org. And we give a 7-3, and remember to help keep amateur radio in space. That's from this week's ANS editor, Mitch Ahrensdorf, 80HJ, and that's MAHRENSTORFF at AMSAT.org. Okay, we have reached the end of our time. We hope everybody enjoyed this version this week of the Houston AMSAT Net. Stay safe out there. Be safe playing with those fireworks. And keep making those radio contacts and satellite contacts and playing with those radios. We look forward to catching everybody next week. So from Andy, W5ACM, and Bruce, KK514, and myself, Marty, WG5Y in Northwest Houston, we say 7-3 for this week from the Houston AMSAT Net.